Our first reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, beginning from at verse 18. Romans chapter 8, from 18 to verse 30. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Then turn with me to our preaching text, to the last section of Psalm 119. Which is from verse 169. Psalm 119 from verse 169 to the end. And it uses the letter Tau. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds. Amen.
Well, good afternoon. Glad you're here as we're coming to the final sermon today in the series in Psalm 119, as we've been working our way through this entire psalm, the longest of the psalms. Some of you have been through pretty much all of that. I don't know if it's like your first time here and you're hearing the last sermon on it, if that's good. But hey, at least you will have heard some of it and get a summary. If it would be your first time, I don't think that's the case with anybody here today. And it's, of course, it's good to go back and listen to them online, which you can. But if you've been here tracking through, if you've read the psalm as we've been going through, hopefully you have, at least each week when we do the sermon, it would be a good time probably to go back and reread it in view of this final stanza tile that we read, that Marco read, that we're studying today. I say this one because, of course, it's always good to go back, isn't it? When you've been doing a Bible study, a sermon series, and you go back through, I've heard of people doing that, and there's a lot of fruitfulness in doing that. But particularly, I think, in a way, to read all of Psalm 119, if you get time and work it through, because of how it ends. Some people might think this ending, wow, you know, it's not what I really thought it would be, necessarily, at the end of this psalm. All about the beauty and the value of God's Word. You know, maybe you've read a good book before, and then the ending, you know, you don't think that's the way it's going to be, right? The ending just didn't, or the movie, right? You know, where, not what I wanted or hoped for or expected. And maybe we could feel that way, perhaps, until we understand what stanza tile, this 22nd of the 22 stanzas, the end of the psalm, this psalm broken up in the Hebrew acrostic we've seen, when it comes to an end. You could perhaps think that about that, especially the last verse, 176. The psalm ends, not just the section, but the whole psalm, on a pretty interesting note in a way. And David doesn't end this psalm, think about it, saying, Lord, I'll trust and obey. There's no other way, like we sing. And I know he would mean that, yes, he loves the Lord, he wants to, but that's not where he leaves it. It doesn't. It's not where he ends the psalm. David doesn't say, well, you know, Lord, I've learned so much, and I'm trusting to walk in your word, because I love it so much, and I won't, you know, I'm following you, Lord. I'm walking in victory, kind of. Yes, in the overall sense, David is saying that. He wants that, but that's not how the psalm ends. That's not where we're left when we finish Psalm 119, is it? That's not the last thing left on our minds at the end of the book, is it? No, David shifts focus from the heights of praising God, for example, just last Sunday in the section before this, stanza Shin. Last Sunday, he's praising God. There we saw no praying, only the praise of God ultimately, really, in that section for his word. Right before this section, he's waiting on God, we saw. He's standing in awe of the Lord and his word. And we know there, we could see there's marvelous truths to learn there about standing in awe of God and worship and praising God. But as the psalm ends, David is praying again ultimately as this psalm ends, at least through a fair chunk of this stanza, requesting the Lord to teach him his wisdom, to give him understanding. He's worshiping God in song that's based in his mind and his heart. David is longing deeply for salvation, that he could walk deeply with God and know God's salvation by grace. David is watchful as this psalm ultimately comes to an end. He's humbly looking and knowing his need for God to protect him as he moves forward. And in that sense, you could say this is like the Lord's Prayer in a way, isn't it? What the Lord taught us to pray, at least how the Lord's Prayer ends, that towards the end of it, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Seeking God's protection. It's interesting, a psalm focused so much on God's Word, as this psalm is, 119. Looking at the Word of God like a diamond, right? From all of its beauty and different facets. All of the different words for the law of God and the Word of God. About seeing and knowing that Word and loving it and living it out. And loving the Lord who is steadfast in His love that we learn in the Word. All these things. All about God's Word. This psalm ends with a cry out to God. In the first verse, Lord, let my cry come before you, God. God, I want more than anything understanding. I want to understand what the word means. I need you to help me. Like young Solomon, remember when he was asked one time as king what he would want most he could have? And he asked for what? For wisdom. Yet it makes sense when you really start to think about this psalm and you think about the Christian life. David has been praying all through this psalm for understanding in God's Word, hasn't he? For God to open up wondrous truths to his heart and mind in different ways through this, to help him apply the truth, to live it out, to know it in his trials, that the Word of God would be a light unto his path, a lamp unto his feet, right? In so many ways, he's done that. And when you really grow to know God's Word, we know it's all because of God's grace, isn't it? It's all because of Christ and God's grace, because God saves us And because of this, we grow to know God in His truth, in His Word. And as you see Christ, as you see God in the Word, well, then what do we start to see? We start to see ourselves more and more, don't we? Yes, as you know truth, you know God's steadfast love, as David said a couple weeks ago. That steadfast love that we know in the Word of God, that is what makes our hearts steadfast. But when we are getting in the Word of God, right, as we know it more and more, like David does in this psalm, and he comes to the end of it, we in that see ourselves more, don't we? In that reality, in view of God's holy character. And you know that you still have to live in this life, don't you? With your flesh that remains, your old sin nature. You still live in a world of temptation. You still know you're not home yet. You still know you have to wage war with the sin that comes against you that remains. You sense more of that battle with sin and the reality of sin. And yes, you have a new power within you as a Christian, but part of that power, not all of it, but part of it is knowing who God is at the heart of it, and then in that, knowing how we need Christ in light of who we are left to our own devices. It's like that hymn, you know, that we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, right? How prone to wander we are. Lord, we feel it. Lord, we're prone to leave the God we love. See, having spent all this time, David has, and we do as we do this series, studying the Word of God, learning about it, knowing we love it, David having been inspired then to write this by the Holy Spirit of God, this is how he ends the Psalm 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He wasn't living them all right, was he? But he didn't forget them because God had put them in his heart. David loves God's law. He doesn't forget it, but that doesn't mean that he is not, as we must be, well aware of our propensity to not live it out, of our great need for grace. He knew that Isaiah would say later, right, we all like sheep, Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray, right? But we need the Messiah, and God sent the Messiah to lay our iniquities upon him. Because we've all, and we still don't, we're all lost sheep except by grace, we go astray. But Jesus had our iniquities laid upon him. James 1 tells us that we look at the perfect law, the Word of God, right? That gives freedom. It's like looking in a mirror and we see God who is holy, who never changes, who's steadfast in love. We see ourselves. We see our need for grace continually. And as we keep looking by faith, we see Christ. We see His grace and love. We see who we are in Him. And then we walk with Him knowing salvation. It's of God's grace through the Word of God. But knowing more and more of the Word of God, all its angles, as we've been seeing in this psalm, knowing its truths, having that head knowledge, it shouldn't cause us to think, well, hey, I've got it. I got this Christian thing down. All right, I've got it all figured out. Like a guy, you know, the analogy of the guy going down the road, right? He's on a dark road, walking down the road, and a car goes by, hits the mud puddle, and he's just walking along, you know, the car passes by, this mud splatters. He can't really see, but it's only as he gets closer and closer to the light at the end of the road that he realizes, hey, man, mate, I'm covered with mud. What did Paul say when he got toward the end of his life? He said, I'm the chief of all sinners. Knowledge of God's Word results in a great growing need that we know we have for God's grace. Kidner said this verse reveals the love of Scripture, maybe good for professors especially, the love for Scripture need not harden into academic pride. Ash said, I would have ended this psalm like this. He said, think about it. If I was ending it, I might say, I'd end the psalm. Listen to me. You know, I'm the great Bible teacher. I've written this amazing 22 section, 8 verse per section acrostic on God's Word. Psalm 119, you know. He said, I might say, you know, you really need to read it. It'll change your life. Of course we believe that, right? It's structurally sound. It's theologically accurate. Indeed, let me encourage you, he said, if I would end it, Ash said. You know, I'd say, let me encourage you. I've had my struggles, but now as I know God's word like this, I am living in the victorious Christian life. You know, I can do it and you can too. That's not how David does. Is this psalm at all, is it? In Psalm 119. No, knowing God's word causes David to cry out for grace. To cling to grace. It causes him to see his great need for wisdom, as we're going to see, for worshiping God in Psalm. Walking with God, seeking grace. Watching out and asking God to watch out for him most of all the way home as his good shepherd. And we've got that same need, don't we? Achan said this stands a contrast greatly to the last one, Shin. We said last week, David was confessing his faithfulness and God's faithfulness and dedication to the Lord. Here he ends pleading in prayer for understanding, for deliverance, for regular help, and for future rescue. So we're going to see David is praying here. Lord, please hear my prayer. Lord, please receive my praise. Lord, please help me. And Lord, please come, seek me, rescue me. Come to me when I know I will stumble as the good shepherd. Boy, said Luther, he began the 95 Theses in there at the start of the Reformation. One of the things written, he said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent, he meant the entire life of a Christian should be an act of repentance. And that's true. You know, the point is, there is never a moment, even for us as Christians, right, when we can stop thinking of ourselves as lost sheep in a sense. We're found, yes. Amazing grace, right? Found me. But in a sense, right, we're lost. Except by His grace, we're always in need of Christ to come after us, to lead us, to deliver us, to work in us. So David came to that conclusion here after all this time thinking and reflecting on the Word of God. Borgman said, we know the sweet taste of God's Word, but the godly also know the desperation and urgency of living in the now. How we need God's grace. Ash called this section unresolved tension that's dependent on God's grace. So this is how Psalm 119 ends, interestingly, here. As we start to look at these applications, our need for grace. I think we see these avenues in the different verses for God's grace. As we seek to live out the Word of God, we start with wisdom. We sing in worship. We seek to walk with God as we stay watchful, and most of all, want God to watch over us to the end. Let's look at point number one in verse 169 to 170, and that start with wisdom. This deals with clarity, with hope, the idea of perspective and wisdom. It's the application on your outline there that we start with wisdom, that we express our need, that we need the wisdom of God. This is avenue of grace number one. As we seek to live out the Word of God, as this psalm comes to an end, this last section in 169 to 170, David calls us to start with, of course, the only wisdom we can have, and that's the wisdom of God. Now, David is praying here. Note that he starts out in 169 crying out to God. He's bringing specific supplications, and he does this throughout this first section. But notice here, in this particular context, in this whole section context, he's clinging to grace. He's seeking God for grace to live out the Word of God. And it starts with his need for wisdom from the Lord. 169 to 170 focus on David's acknowledgement of that great need for God's wisdom. Boyce said, we might think David or anyone blessed, inspired by the Holy Spirit, would be conscious of how much he knew of God and his ways, or at least how much he was learning. But it seems he's conscious most of all of how little he knows. He really knows the Word of God. David realizes that if he is to really deeply understand, and we would say, right, live out the Word of God, anything ultimately about God and God's truth, God, as he said earlier, David said earlier, God must open my eyes and your eyes. He must give us understanding. When we read the Word of God, David has prayed for this from the start of Psalm 119. As I said, he prayed, Lord, open your wondrous truths to my heart. Lord, teach me your ways. But you see, David doesn't stop here with this mindset as the psalm ends, because as we've seen at different points in this psalm, what the Bible seeks to show us is not head facts about God, not just knowledge about God, for the sake of accumulating knowledge about God. David has shown us the words designed to teach us to depend on God, to show us how much we must cling to Him in grace, to walk in His way, to live in the way that pleases Him, to know what God's Word means. The Word of God is designed that way, not just for head knowledge and facts, but so that we'll cling to the Lord. And anyone who thinks, well, you know, I'll just open up the Bible and just read the Bible. I'll get it. I've got it. You know, I'll figure it out. And they're not deeply looking to Christ. They're not depending on the Lord for the Lord to lead them and show them what the Word means. They're dead in the water. They won't understand it, even if they'd say that they're Christian. David is reminding us what the proverb tells us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we know it's the only way to continue in true wisdom. Wisdom is seeing God, life from God's viewpoint, and then the power to be able to live it out, and the perspective to live it out. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning, and it is the only way throughout life to truly grow in God's wisdom. And this is what David, I think, has discovered as he's looked at the Word of God and he's written this psalm. Why he cries to God, he realizes the Word is designed for him to know the Lord and to walk then in the ways of God. And he needs God's wisdom. He needs God to give him understanding. It's not about just knowing the laws on their surface level. Yes, we need that. It's just not about just learning the rules or learning the precepts. Yes, we need that. But it is about life. And that's why he needs understanding. Proverbs 3 says, we must trust in the Lord, right, with all of our hearts. In this leaning, not on our own understanding, but in all our ways. Acknowledge God. And it says, Solomon says there, we must guard against the temptation to be what? Wise in our own eyes. We must always do that. Someone said, if we think we're wise, we are the most foolish people of all. But you see, if we are recognizing our foolishness daily, regularly, that we can be the most foolish of all, and then we're not wise in our eyes, and we look to the Lord and fear the Lord, that's when the Lord shows up. Then he gives us understanding. Only as we recognize our foolishness on our own and we come to God. I believe that's what David's doing here. Just remember James 1. James 1 says, if any of you in trial lack wisdom, let him come to God who gives generously. The God who never changes will give to him wisdom in that. So David comes to God, first of all, crying out. He is humble. He is pleading. There is no cocky, as one man said, bursting into God's presence. David is unassuming on the one hand, but did you notice he's accurate also? He's unassuming, but he is also accurate. He is focused. And David in prayer seeks two things if you look there as he prays. First, he knows, again, how much he needs to understand. He is dealing with life. He is dealing, as he's shown us, with enemies, with trials, with potential problems, future problems, knowing his own tendency to sin. We see that today. And what David has come to grasp is how understanding God's Word is only going to come by God's grace. That's the only hope, Lord. Give me understanding. He needs it according to the Word of God. Did you see that where he says, Wilcox said, David's praying, I need to know the right things, Lord, in the right spirit to do them at the right time, by your word, your truth, and that I would do them out of the right motivation, the right purposes. Lord, I ask that in that way, I would do them in the way you know is best, Lord. Help me. So would you order my outward circumstances, David seems to say, as you have ordered my inward thoughts. See, this is why David, he also not only prays for understanding, but number two, he prays for undergirding by God, as God is acting according to his word in David's life. Did you notice that? David wants to walk with God based on the truth, knowing the covenant God of love intimately, to know God's ways and to see God at work as he's helping David, as he's undergirding David based on who the Lord is. He's leading David. He's working in David's life. God gives us, for one thing, preventative medicine. Yes, through his word, he teaches us wisdom so we can avoid things, right? But God also gives through his power and his word as he works protective measures. Wisdom to deal with the situations we find ourselves in. This is the rescue that I think David is praying for here. That, Lord, you might protect me through preventative medicine, your word, that I would avoid those things. But when I'm in the middle of those things, he prays here. He says, let my supplication, meaning a specific request for a specific situation, let it come before you, God. Deliver me according to your word. You see, God at times will deliver us through his word this way. As we're in the middle of the trial, as we seek his wisdom, as he shows us his wisdom in the middle of the difficulties, so that we then navigate it and we're able to, in his strength and wisdom, even though maybe we've messed up, but we seek God's wisdom and he leads us through it. He strengthens us through it. Spurgeon said, so we can live a way that pleases God. Spurgeon said, the Lord in answer to prayer frequently delivers his children by making them wise as serpents, like Jesus said, and as harmless as doves. See, as someone said, if we act like fools, our enemies win. But when we respond with wisdom, they will be the ones that are defeated ultimately. We want them, of course, to be defeated and come to Christ. But Achan said, we need the Lord to work on our hearts by means of his word and to help with circumstances and choices where we find ourselves. We need to understand and see things as God does, but we also often need God to intervene, don't we? According to his word, we need God to act on our behalf. Understanding helps us not to take matters in our own hands, but as we trust the Lord to understand, we know we trust God also to deliver us, to make things right. That leads me to number two here, and that's to sing and worship. Look at this second avenue of grace that builds off of the first one, that we come to God, that we have a heart of praise in verses 171 to 172, that we exalt God and his word in song, and we sing and worship. So avenue two of grace to live for God's word as this psalm ends, we see David moving from wisdom, where he starts in humility, to singing with all of his heart in worship to the Lord and with God's people. So wisdom moves to worship. That's the necessary flow, isn't it? As this is what all of life is about. That's what heaven's going to be about. That's what we're created for, isn't it? To glorify God. Enjoy him forever. And what's interesting to start is David is not like the Pharisee. Did you notice that? He's not like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable who said, oh, I'm glad I'm not like those people, like the sinners, you know. Who's David more like? He's like the other one in Jesus' parable in Luke 18, right? The Gentile tax collector who beat his breast and pleaded with God for mercy. Jesus said he was justified by faith. So avenue two is worship here, and David is revealing a heart of praise in 171 to 172. It's also key here to see, I think, that David, did you notice, having sought God for wisdom, as this psalm ends, he has confidence in God and what he knows in God's word and God's answer as he is already praising the Lord. He is thankful, even it seems, ahead of time because of who God is, trusting God to give him wisdom. Based on who God is. So David confesses, my lips shall praise you. Why? Because God, you teach me. Did you notice? It is not, Lord, I'll praise you because I know you're going to do everything that I'm going to want and ask, you know. And it's no, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, as the Psalm 23 says, you lead me in righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, you have and you will, I know, give me understanding in truth. I praise you because you teach me. It's interesting. David doesn't keep, ultimately, at this moment, keep praying. You could say it's all a prayer. But at this point, and again, I know that we got to keep praying, don't we? We persevere in prayer. God blesses that. We keep seeking God. But David shows us the points where we need to pause to praise, to thank God. David trusts the Lord because of what he knows of the Lord in the Word, and his mouth, therefore, is full of praise. His tongue will tell of God's Word. So as he sings, his words, he's saying, you're going to be. I want them to be based on your Word, Lord. And then he will witness, tell of God's Word, because he knows, what does he say? I know that all your commands, every single truth, like David said before, is right. All the understanding of my life in your Word is based on those commands that never fail, because you never fail. So you might say, well, how is this an avenue of grace to grow in God's Word when we talk about worship? Well, as David seeks wisdom, he pauses to contemplate it, and he pauses to praise God. I've said churches where people are being changed by the Word and the Spirit of God, we ought to be marked by praise. He says that puts people in the shade, others in the shade. I guess puts them to shame. Praise ought to bubble out of the lives of changed Christians who know the Lord. As we worship God, it's because we know God. And we know God and His Word. And as we worship Him based on that, we are grateful. We should be filled with joy and praise because of who He is. And we then want to know more of Him. That's why places like Colossians 3. Colossians 3 says this. Sing hot psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together. What? As the Word of Christ dwells in you. Folks, there is something about singing in worship that cements truth in the hearts of true Christians. It makes it real. It creates an appetite for more truth. So Achan said, there's an excitement we see. Don't we see his enthusiasm here in worship, his praise, as he contemplates that the Lord will teach me more of his statutes, more of what his word means. There is a boldness, if you will, joy, but this is balanced, did you see that, with mind and heart. Did you see that? Look at verse 71, as one man said, reads like praise of the heart. But verse 172 reads like the praise flowing from our thinking, our mind. There's a balance of mind and heart and worship. These two should never be separated. So 171, David's full of emotion, isn't he? Seems to be praising God because of the hope he has, and he wants to know more truth. Ash said he bubbles up with praise when he realizes that the God who made the galaxies is at work in his heart. He's learning to walk the walk. Literally, what it says in Hebrew here is, my lips pour out praise. Picture the gushing spring or a water faucet breaks at the house, right? And pouring out. So there's future hope here David has because of past experience based in his walk with God. Verse 172, he is full of praise, but that is established in truth. For all your commandments are righteous. There is a focused heart in that future hope. Did you see that? Because David knows the Word of God never changes, because God never changes. See, this is grace that changes us. This is grace based in truth that strengthens as we worship, as we come to praise God based on who we're growing in His Word in Christ to know Him to be. Spurgeon said, when we have a high opinion of God's commandment, it's little wonder that our lips are ready to extol the ever-glorious One who is God. Boyce makes a great point in this. How do we know how to worship? Well, we can know it in the Word of God, can't we, ultimately? And David knows we don't have the power in ourselves to worship God rightly. That's why we have to constantly humble ourselves before God, seeking wisdom, asking for God to help us to worship Him. You know, I was over in the U.S. a while back, you know, and I went to my brother-in-law's church. Nice little church there. And he's doing chaplaincy, but also preaching most of the Sundays there and pastoring that church. And he did a great, great message. But got to the end of the message, and he did it, man, closed it well, prayed, and this lady back in the back said, go Wolfpack! That'd be like, go Eagles today. Or maybe you're Frio. I don't know, but he wasn't right. Not at that moment. I love sports. But I saw John just sort of like, okay. You know, I heard this guy tell me that a couple weeks ago, actually, about this pastor. I don't know where it was, but after the sermon, the guy said, well, now that we're done with that, we can do the important things. I know we don't think that way in this church, but we always have to guard, don't we? How do we see worship? Number three thing, seek grace to walk with God. Look at what he says here in 173 to 175. We've got to exercise faith, cling to God for his power. And we see Avenue 3 of grace to live for God by his word as this psalm ends, and the need for grace to walk with God. As Psalm 119 is coming to a close, David is summarizing things and he's seeking God's help. God has revealed his steadfast love to David in God's word. David has come to grasp this in his relationship and knowledge of God, and that's what salvation's all about. In the word of God, he knows this. Boy said, are you longing for salvation that only God can supply? If we're Christians, we are, right? We know that only he gives it to us by grace. He said, if we're not living that way, and sometimes we can look at our prayer lives and say, well, why am I not praying? Because I think I could do it on my own somehow. See, if you're not longing for, like David says, I long for salvation. If you're not longing for that, it could be you don't have a true sense of your need for that salvation. That we can, even as Christians, have times where we think we can manage it on our own. We don't know the depths of what we need in salvation. Jesus said, what did he say? I've come not for the healthy, but for the sick. Achan said who God is and what he teaches us. And so we know the gospel in Christ. That's how he saves us, and that's how he sanctifies us. That's how we continue to grow. So while David knows he needs wisdom, needs to see things from God's view, and worship is what life and eternity is all about, he knows salvation is what he longs for. Salvation's all about knowing God. So the word is what we need, as one man said, but it's the Lord that who we need. And we find the Lord in the word of God. And so we live to praise God, but we always remember, like Boyce said, that comes from poor, weak sinners saved by grace, like we sang this morning. So David doesn't just want to know the right thing to do and the right way. That's true. David wants to know God's presence with him in all that he does in life. That's what he means there, I think, when he says that your hand will be my help. David longs for salvation, which is to know God. David wants more than anything for God to do what God alone can do to save him. That he'll be right with God. David longs for God's salvation, that his soul, did you see that? That my soul shall live. Why? That I might praise God. Is the word of God, if you're a Christian, it has to be true. Is it creating that longing in us to know salvation? That our souls are safe with God, saved by God, that we know God. In other words, to worship God, to walk in wisdom, is all by grace. What David said, all because God saves us at the deepest level from our sin, like we talked about this morning, forgiving us, saving our souls through faith in Christ. And we might ask, well, when we seek wisdom, let me ask, we all should ask this to ourselves, when we are seeking God in his word to know wisdom, why do we do it? What do we really seek? We have to ask at times, don't we? Do we just want things to kind of work out the right way? Of course we care about that. Do we just want to live our best life? As you hear people say today, right? Live my best life. Want things to be good. Now, God cares about all that. We seek that. But Achan says David doesn't ask for God's help with a quick, perfunctory prayer. He has a deep desire, look at 174, to know salvation. To really know God and his ways. A deep desire. I long for your salvation. Jeremiah 29, the Lord said to Jeremiah, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do we pray those prayers? Are we? If God's working in us, we'll be growing in that. We have ups and downs in it. It waxes and wanes. But Are we growing to pray those prayers to really be saved from sin? To really know God and Christ in us? To know the power of the gospel changing us? Not just going through the motions, as we say. But David has chosen God's word, yes, but he knows by grace. He doesn't forget it, but he knows that in his heart of hearts and his all left to his own devices, he will struggle with it. He's prone to wonder, as we said. So the more we know the word, we know the salvation we need is not just from our circumstances, not just from the things around us or the people around us, but from our own sin. Salvation we know we need from our own selfishness. We need the Lord to save our souls. David longs for true salvation more and more. For God to save him from himself. God to save his soul from sin. And then he says, your judgments will be a help to me. Then I'll love your law. I'll love your judgments. Boy said, we need God's deliverance from sin, from its penalty, from its power and presence, from the evil influences and outlook of the world, and even from the devil. And we know this as Christians. We know Christ has delivered us. But we have to always remember, we cannot do that on our own. We need God to give us salvation. We need His help to continue to depend on Christ. To lead us all the way home. It's kind of like the little boy, you know, clenching tightly to his parent or his grandparent's hand as he goes across a major intersection with tons of traffic. And the reality is that boy is holding so tightly, right, to his parent's hand or his grandparent. He's clinging so much, but what he doesn't realize is that his mom or dad was actually the one holding him with a vice grip across that highway. So David seems to be saying that, I'm clinging to you, but I need your salvation. I need to know you're saving me. David is saying, I'm learning that about my walk in grace based on your word, your covenant faithfulness that's in your word that never fails. I need you to save me. You're the one holding my hand. Even though I grip to yours with faith, you're the one that's saving my soul. And I need to know that. I need to grow through that and trust you. It's all about His salvation. To walk with this God who's come in Christ to save us. That we'll have a longing more and more for what He and He alone can do in His truth. And that leads me finally, as we close and we finish this psalm today, 176, look at this last point. Stay watchful. We've got to stay watchful. There's a confession here, really, in a sense at the end, even though he's been confessing through the whole thing in a way, but there's a humility here. There's a sense of a need for protection, to expect trials. He says the application, I believe, is stay watchful in watchfulness. So this final avenue of grace we see here in this final verse of this grand psalm, it's not what we might have expected. I stray like a sheep. Seek me. I read about this cricket team a few years back, 2006 in England. I think it was an amateur game, North Yorkshire, one of the teams. The batsman for that team, I think, was out for a duck. I don't know all these terms. I'm just reading them. And the second one also, and the third, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, all the way to the 11th. I think it said that they scored a bye, and a leg bye, and four byes. Again, don't know what that is either. But the point is in the story. That's not the sport I've gotten into. They were in trouble. Would you agree, cricket fans? I don't know. They were in trouble. So David's saying, look, this is who God saves. We might think that, well, God, the one that God uses, right, or the one who has it all together and never struggles. And no, God delivers sheep who stray and who continue to know their need for the shepherd. To lead them, to come after them, and to never leave them alone. Like Psalm 23 says, right? And His mercy and faithfulness will follow us to the very end, right? We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, this psalm reminds us, God puts sheep on His team, His family, because that's what we are. And there's no other way. There's no other type of people, is there? Calvin says this is our liability to err, that we immediately relapse into sin the instant God leaves us to ourselves. Like that hymn says, prone to wander. We live close to the shepherd. We want Him to help us to stay watchful, but we want Him to be watchful over us, because that's who He is according to His Word to the very end. Someone said, you know, we could go out of a great worship meeting or Bible study, right, with thoughts of the wonder of God, and within seconds we find ourselves snapping in anger at our family, having covetous, greedy thoughts over what we're going to get. This is what we can be and where we can quickly turn, and we need God's grace, don't we? According to His Word. The paths of God's Word are there in some respects to show us our need for the shepherd to keep us on the path and to stay close to us, to watch over us. 1 Peter 2 reminds us, if you're a believer, you have returned by grace to the overseer and the shepherd of your soul. If you're a believer, you know that good shepherd, and He's watching over you. And David is saying here as we finish up this grand psalm, and at the end of it, Lord, I need You more than anything, and I need You to watch over me. I need You not only to help me not forget Your Word, but to remember them, to know what they mean and why. And Lord, I know I wander, so stay watchful. Help me to stay watchful. Help me to stay prayerful. But most of all, Lord, I don't want to forget Your Word, but Lord, don't forget me. Watch over me. See Your servant. Now, I was at my wife's boss's house back right after Christmas for this little get-together. And he's one of the bosses with youth care, my wife's boss, and he's over the chaplains. But he had this picture on the wall. I never forget. I was just kind of looking at the picture. It's kind of a bit of a dark background in a way, but there's a little sheep kind of there laying on the ground, just a sheep. And that's really all you notice at first. Then you look back further in the back of the picture, and there's Jesus. Well, it's best to be Jesus. The shepherd is coming. He sees the sheep in the darkness. That's who our shepherd is. The one who leaves the 99 for the one. That's our shepherd who loves us, who watches over us. The good shepherd. The God of grace who's given us His Word that we can walk with Him to the very end. Let's turn to Him now as we close. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this psalm, Lord, and this series, Psalm 119, we're grateful for Your Word and what it's taught us about who You are. And Lord, the beauty of Your Word, Lord, how we grow by Your grace through faith to know You most of all in salvation, and to walk in Your Word, to learn Your Word, to love it. And by grace, Lord, You empower us to walk in those ways and live it. And Lord, we're thankful for that, Lord. We know there's so much more that could be said about this amazing psalm and piece of Your Word. But Lord, take these truths we've learned and plant them deeply in our hearts. Lord, help us to grow to love Your Word and to be a people of God, Lord, that stand upon Your grace in Your Word, Lord, to follow Christ and follow You. And Lord, not to go to the left or the right. But Lord, may Your Word do its work in us, Lord, to change us. And Lord, to keep us close to the shepherd, to You. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's mighty and powerful name. Amen.